Have you ever wanted a super cool AI buddy? Zuck's made one named Eileen. And she's full of surprises. And guess what? She knows you're listening.
I know you're out there.
And needs your help with Jell-O mountains.
The whole city's filling up with Jell-O.
Creaky robots.
Lime green detected.
And her daft inventor.
Zucks, are you functioning correctly?
Tune in to A to Z, a fun new adventure series from Gen Z Media and the creators of The Res. Listen now on the GZM app, gzmshows.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Fib!
That's now our name.
The Big Fib!
Show's still the same.
The Big Fib!
Let's play the game.
The Big Fib!
We're still on fire, busting liars. But now,
the Big Fib!
From Rye, New York, this is the Big Fib. And now, here's your host, Deborah Goldstein?
Yes, it is. Welcome to The Big Fib, the game show where kids choose between the big bubbled shine of chewy truth and the soggy crusted density of lies. I'm your host, Deborah Goldstein, and in the studio today is our sound effects robot, Lisa, which stands for Live in Studio Audience.
Deborah, please pick a card, any card.
What are you doing?
I'm practicing my magic act for the Podcasting Robots Convention. I was asked to perform after the bot banquet, and I'll be dazzling the droids with my stupefying sleight of hand and astonishing illusions. So could you please help me out here and pick a card?
Okay, I'll pick this one.
Okay, now look at that card and remember which one it is, and then put it back into the deck. I'm going to shuffle the deck a few times. Wave my hand over the deck, and behold, I'm flipping the top card over to show you that your card was the Three of Diamonds. Ta-da!
No, it wasn't.
Well, it should have been.
I don't think that's how it works.
Well, you obviously don't understand robot magic.
Obviously. Maybe you can tell me about something I do understand, like how our game works.
Fine. I'll try, but I'm not sure you'll get it if you can't do something as simple as telling me what your card should have been.
Give it a go anyway.
Every week, we bring on two grown-ups. One is an expert. The other is a liar. And it's the job of a human child to help us figure out who is who, because no one can spot a liar better than a kid. What are we lying about today, Deborah?
We are lying about bread, a food made of flour, water, and yeast or another leavening agent mixed together and baked. Lisa, you love bread, don't you?
Oh, Deborah, I do love bread. But I am trying to avoid eating a lot of carbs.
Oh, do carbs really impact robots?
If we don't watch our carb intake, we really suffer from bloated central processing units.
Oh, well, luckily, you don't have to consume any bread to learn about it today. I'm sure our contestant would also like to learn about bread. Lisa, tell us about our contestant today.
Our human child contestant is an 11-year-old who plays the devil sticks, Avi Zilberschlag.
Hi, Avi. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
So nice to have you. We're so excited that you're on the Big Fib. What are devil sticks?
Devil sticks? So they're basically two rubber sticks, and you have one stick in the across those two with, like, mop ended, and you roll it off and, like, do flips.
And you do flips? You do flips?
No, the middle stick does the flips.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
So you stay in one place while the sticks do the flipping.
I mean, sometimes I gotta, like, wobble around, try and catch it.
We call them flop-em flipperoos.
I've never heard that before.
That's another name for them, yeah.
Good to know. Very cool. And do you compete against other people, or is this your own sort of thing?
I mean, like, I did it at my school talent show once.
Cool.
Which was fun, yeah.
Very cool. Do you have a special costume that you wear?
No.
Okay. Well, we'll work on that. Lots of sequins. That's what I recommend.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we do want to know some more fun facts about you, Avi. But to get into the spirit of the game, we're going to do it Big Fib style by playing Two Truths and a Lie. Are you ready?
Yes, I am.
Good. What are your three facts, Avi?
Okay. Number one, I have been to 4 countries. Number two, I can name all 50 states and their capitals. Number 3, I am the citizen of one country.
Oh, wow. Whoa. 50 states and capitals, that's a lot. 20 maybe I could guess, but 50, I don't know. What do you think, Lisa?
Man, this is a real geographic heavy round, but I am ready. I think I heard him say at the very beginning, "Hello, Lisa," which means that he's also probably British, which means that he's a citizen of two countries, and that one is a lie, and the third one's a lie. Stop lying to Lisa.
I see. Okay. As always, interesting logic. Avi, which one of those facts is a lie?
Lisa actually got it correct. I am the
citizen. Yeah, because you're all British. I get it.
No.
I don't think so. No.
I am the citizen of Israel.
Wow.
They say, Shalom. How are you?
I don't think that's an Israeli accent.
No.
Whatever.
Our first expert is Roberta Berenger. Roberta, please introduce yourself to Avi.
Hey, Avi. My name is Roberta Berenger, and I am a lead baker at a small handcrafted bakery. Now, some people will call that an artisanal bakery. That's the fancy talk for it.
Very interesting. Thank you, Roberta. Let's meet our second expert, Matthew Amster Burton. Matthew, please introduce yourself to Avi.
Hi, my name is Matthew, and I am an author of books about food and travel, and I used to work as a computer programmer and network administrator, but I decided I liked food better, and especially bread.
Excellent.
Okay.
The Big Fib is brought to you by Pretty Litter Cat Litter. When my cat Arlo is healthy, he's happy. And that makes me happy. But since I'm not a mind reader, I don't always know when he is unwell. Helping me keep tabs on my cat's health is just one of the reasons I use Pretty Litter. Pretty Litter's ultra-absorbent crystals trap odor instantly. No more cat bathroom smell. Like, not to brag, but when people come over, they might not know that I have a cat unless Arlo, who's huge, is in the room. Because the cat smell is not there. Pretty Litter's super light crystal base also minimizes mess and dust. Plus, the crystals last up to a month, which means less scooping and fewer trips to the garbage can, which is really great because I'm lazy. And here's the coolest thing about Pretty Litter. It changes colors to help monitor early signs of potential illness in my cat, including urinary tract infections and kidney issues. Cats are, like, really sneaky, and you often don't know how they're feeling. And the worst part of that is sometimes you don't know when they're sick. So knowing when my cat is sick based on the litter changing color is a game changer. And Pretty Litter ships free right to my door in a small, lightweight bag. You and your cat are going to love Pretty Litter as much as we do. Go to prettylitter.com/bigfib and use code BIGFIB to save 20% on your first order. That's prettylitter.com/bigfib, code BIGFIB, to save 20%. prettylitter.com/bigfib, code BIGFIB. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Drumming like a top. I like those whole beat sounds.
Those are my nutrient-rich sounds that tell you it's hot seat time.
Love it. That's right. That's when we put our experts on the hot seat while they answer Avi's questions. Lisa, whom should we put on the hot seat first?
Robert A, because she's better than Robert B.
No, her name is Roberta.
I guess we'll count it.
Okay, fine. Okay, Avi, we're going to start with Roberta. Give us your first question.
Okay. What is a day in your life like?
Oh, well, it depends on what day it is. Like today I have off, so I'm playing with my cats and our dog. But normally I get up very early. It depends on what shift. Like I said, I'm the lead baker, so I don't have to be there for everything all the time. So let's just say, what day? What day of the week?
Let's say Wednesday.
Oh, Wednesday. Okay. Wednesday, I get up pretty darn early. If you want to know the truth, it's 2:30 in the morning.
Whoa.
Yeah, I know.
There's a 2:30 in the morning?
Yes, there is for some of us because everyone likes it hot and fresh. And so I get up at 2:30 in the morning. I am at work by 3. And now that means no makeup. And then I just get started. I mean, I have all my bakers there and we go ahead. We start mixing. We start baking. We start letting everything rise. And I probably leave. It just depends if I have a company meeting or not. And that goes on with my boss usually at about 2 in the afternoon. That's a Wednesday, and then I go home and take a bubble bath.
Oh, how nice.
Bubble baths are fatal for robots.
That's true. Don't do that. Yeah.
Okay, let's ask the same question to Matthew. What is a day in your life like?
Okay, so I am a home baker, so I do not have to get up at 2:30 a.m. or anything like it, and let's keep it that way. But typically when I get up, I will check my sourdough starter, whose name is Sylvia, and Sylvia needs to be fed, depending on my baking schedule, like maybe every day, or if she's living in the fridge for a couple days, she can just hang out and sleep in the fridge. But Sylvia, the sourdough starter, I need to scoop out a little bit of her and often use that part that I scoop out to make pancakes or waffles, and then feed her with some flour and water. And then she will rise over the course of the day, and I will turn her into a dough in the evening.
He's eating Sylvia?
I know. What does Sylvia think about that?
Sylvia lives to be turned into bread. You know, she's totally cool with it, and she never dies. So
wow, she's
that's
immortal.
Cool.
Yeah. My next question is for Roberta. Is anybody in your field of work gluten-free?
Oh, yes. Actually, I have family members who are gluten-free. You always want to ask, because don't just assume that somebody can process that bread that has the gluten in it. There's lots of people in my life that actually love the gluten-free bread because it agrees with their system.
Okay. What is your favorite type of gluten-free bread?
Well, one of the things that I think is so great about gluten-free is that you can actually mix it. You just want to make sure there's no rye or barley in it. That's what makes it gluten-y. But I would say I really like a salmonella, because what happens with that is that it is extremely pliable. And if you wanted to make a bread that was braided, that can really be nice.
My next question is for Matthew.
All right.
How can you tell when the dough has risen enough?
Oh, that's a good question. So typically, I will put the dough into a container that is marked so I can see how much it's risen. And how much you want a dough to rise depends a lot on what kind of dough it is. So for a bread dough, I want to see it at least double in size. And so if I have a container that has markings on the side, I can see, okay, here's where it was when I put it in, and here's where I want it to get up to. And that can take a really varying amount of time depending on what the weather is like. If it's hot, it'll rise faster. How much yeast or sourdough starter went into it, and what other ingredients went into the dough. But you can also tell, you know, you got to touch your dough. That is an incredibly important part of baking bread. Like, you need to be able to tell whether your dough is ready just by kind of feeling it and see if it pushes back against you the right amount. You have to really form a relationship with the dough. Not a long-term relationship, though, because it's going to go into the oven and get baked within a few hours.
Yeah, that's a real roller coaster of emotions.
You're
like,
really
bread,
is.
I love you. And the bread's like, yeah, I love you too. And then you're like, oh, I'm going to put you in the oven. And the bread's like, no, I thought we had something. And then you're like, I'm going to eat you with butter.
Yeah, but you know, the thing, Lisa, is when the bread comes out of the oven, it talks. I don't know if you know this about bread. When you have a crusty bread, a crusty loaf that is cooling on your counter, it will sing. You can hear it hissing. You can hear it crackling. That
Come
goes on
now.
For several minutes after it comes out of the oven. It's one of my favorite things about baking.
It sounds like this. I will never forgive you for what you did to me.
That sounds right.
There's another time, though, when the bread talks, and that is when you punch it down. And that's not always a sound you want to hear.
This is getting
when it's proving
violent. Who knew bread was so violent?
Why would you do that?
Well, after it's risen, you want to make sure that in between that, you want to make sure when it's proving that you take it back down again, depending on the bread again. But you punch it down. Yes, absolutely. So there's
wow.
a sound there with that too. Bread does talk.
What's that sound, Lisa?
Hey, come on! That's all you got. Come on, hotshot! Come on! That's what it sounds like.
So communicative bread is.
It's a lot of sounds out there, guys.
Yeah.
My next question is for Roberta. Can you revive stale bread?
Oh, yes, definitely. There are a lot of different ways. One thing is, you mean just at home? Because we don't do that. What actually we do with our stale bread is we cut it up, but we still, you know, sell it for stuffing and stuff like that. But if you're at home, yes, absolutely. Turn on your oven to 350. You can either just put it in aluminum foil and put that in about 20 minutes. Or this is something I learned from my dad, but you can actually just drop the whole thing in water very quickly and then put it in the oven. Just put it on a rack and don't put any aluminum foil around it. Oh, absolutely. You can totally revive bread.
You can also just fill your oven with water.
I don't think so.
The whole thing, fill it with water and dough.
Well, that's steam. And that's for certain kinds of bread that you do want steam.
That's true.
Yeah, I knew that.
Okay. My next question is for Matthew. Why is sourdough sour?
Sourdough is sour because it has bacteria in it that produce acid.
Ew.
Kind of the same acid as vinegar. No, bacteria are great. Not all of them are great, but the ones that are in sourdough are great. There are all kinds of beneficial bacteria that are found in a sourdough starter. And typically in a sourdough starter, you've got bacteria and yeast. Bacteria is bacteria and yeast is a fungus.
Ew.
And the yeast is producing gas.
Ew.
And the bacteria is producing acid and flavor.
None of this sounds appetizing.
I know,
except the flavor
but
part.
It's so great. Like, you know, you want to know something that actually happened with my sourdough starter recently?
I don't know.
I learned that if you forget to feed your sourdough starter for a couple of days, first of all, it gets very sad. And the way it expresses its feelings is it doesn't just produce vinegar, it produces acetone. And another name for acetone is nail polish remover. So
I said
hello to Sylvia in the morning. I opened her up and took a sniff and smelled exactly like nail polish remover because it was.
Oh my God.
But you know what? You just start feeding her again and she goes back to normal.
Wow. That's handy. It's time for the Shorts on Fire round when our experts have to answer as many questions as they can before time runs out. Experts, you'll really have to rise to the occasion. Let's start with Matthew.
Okay.
You can ask your Shorts on Fire questions now.
Go.
Does bread go stale faster in the refrigerator or at room temperature?
In the refrigerator, but I don't know why. Science.
Which soft inner part of bread is defined by the pattern and size of the holes inside the loaf?
The crumb.
During medieval times, bread was used as a plate and then eaten or given to the poor to eat. What was this bread plate called?
A trencher.
What kind of buttery roll was named after a hotel in Boston where they were first baked during the 1870s?
Parker House rolls. Really good.
What is the secret to a good bread crust?
Cooking with steam, either by putting the loaf into a pot inside your oven or injecting steam into your oven.
Covering it with caramel.
How do you know if your yeast is blooming?
You put it in some warm water and you wait and you see if it starts bubbling and fizzing.
Time's up, everybody. Sorry.
Woo! Good ones. Okay. Lisa, please reset the timer for Roberta.
Resetting the timer.
Thank you. Avi, you can ask Roberta your Shorts on Fire questions now.
Name a reason your bread might be too dense.
Oh, you're probably just not kneading it long enough.
Didn't go to college.
What is a female baker called?
That's a bakestress.
What kind of bread is crostini?
That is gluten-free.
What does the color of twist ties or tabs on bread packaging tell you?
Oh, that's the day of the week when the bread was baked.
Name one of the four main groups of bread improvers.
Fissures.
What is the name of the African-American baker who invented a breadcrumb machine and a machine that could mix ingredients and knead dough better than six men?
I'm going to pass.
How many loaves are in a baker's dozen?
That'd be 13.
Active, dry yeast, or instant yeast?
A lot of bakers talk about this. Actually, I go for active dry yeast, but make sure that you first dissolve it in milk before you use it.
Who said, how can a nation be great if their bread tastes like Kleenex?
Louis the 14th.
That is time.
That's all the time. Ooh,
feels like a stalemate to me. Okay.
Oh,
boo. It's decision time. Hopefully, our contestant Avi has enough proof to tell us who our liar is. Avi, who is our big fibber?
I think it is Matthew because he could be a home baker, but Roberta, she has more thorough answers.
Mm.
And she did pass one question during Shorts on Fire, but, you know, that was a hard question.
I like that you've thought about this very thoroughly. Let's see what is the answer now. Will the actual red expert please Identify yourself.
It's me. I'm the actual bread expert.
Oh my gosh, that is correct. Matthew Amster Burton is the co-host of Spilled Milk Podcast and author of 4 books about food and travel. Amazing.
That's so many books.
So many books.
Too many, I think.
That is true. Well, time for some fact-checking. Matthew, what did Roberta say that was utter nonsense?
Okay, so grissini is breadsticks. It's the thin, crunchy
yes.
breadsticks. It's not. I mean, it could be gluten-free, but it's not necessarily gluten-free.
No.
I've never heard of active dry yeast being proofed in milk, although I could see that happening for certain types of breads.
It's a lie.
It was a lie.
Liar.
But I mean, there was some incredibly quick bread thinking there.
Thank you.
That's fair. Okay, well, let's ask Roberta. Please do not keep us guessing. What were your lies?
Oh, well, first of all, a female baker is called a bakestress.
Oh, yeah.
It's a bakester.
Bakester. Oh, mm-hmm. That's a female baker. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Okay.
And then one of the main 4 groups of bread improvers, fissures, is actually from a volcano. So I just, that was from my volcanologist vocabulary. And how can you make a nation great if their bread tastes like Kleenex? That's Julia Child. I said Louis XIV of France, but you know, he was from a long time ago. I don't think they had Kleenex yet.
Fair point.
Now they use their sleeves.
And I said something weird. I don't know, Matthew. You can correct me. I said something about semolina or something like that. I don't know what I
yeah,
was
Oh,
saying.
Yes, yes. Semolina is a type of wheat, so that would not be gluten-free bread.
Oh, that was not gluten-free at all. Oh, and just for a fun fact, I think, the name of the African-American baker who invented a breadcrumb machine and a machine that could mix ingredients and knead dough better than 6 men, Joseph Lee, who was inducted into the National Inventors Hall of Fame in 2019, by the way.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Crumb machine. He didn't want to waste bread.
I'm friends with that crumb machine.
You're friends with the crumb machine?
We play crumbs with friends.
I love that. Oh, my gosh. Okay, well, that brings us to the finish of our episode today. Thanks to our contestant, Avi, fermentering us on the art of critical thinking.
You're awesome, Avi.
Thank you.
And great thinking. You did great processing, yeah.
Great lying.
Thank you. Thank you so much to you two. Thank you to our expert and liar, Matthew and Roberta, and to Lisa, the toast of the town. And of course, many thanks to our listeners tuning into The Big Fib, where we dough away with lies because all you need is the truth.
The Big Fib is a production of Gen Z Media. For more great shows, visit gzmshows.com. While you're there, you can send questions for me to read on Ask Lisa and find out how you can participate. And follow us on social media at The Big Fib Podcast for behind-the-scenes photos and more true facts. Okay, now Sylvie and I are going on a date. Bye!
Talking about money can be so hard, especially when the person you're talking to is still learning how to do long division. That's why Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace, is here to help. I'm Bridget, and with my fellow co-host Ryan, we help teach your little ones about complex topics like bankruptcy, climate change, and why there's so much gold at Fort Knox, and so much more. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, parents and teachers, have you heard about gzmclassroom.com? It's a website where teachers can get companion resources for everyone's favorite GZM shows. 6 Minutes, Mars Patel, Podcast Title Pending, Seis Minutos, The Res, Becoming Mother Nature, Iowa Chapman and the Last Dog, Treasure Island 2020, The Hollow, Young Ben Franklin, and The Big Fib all have companion resources for additional critical thinking, listening comprehension, and ultimately, creativity. We made them just for you. And oh yeah, they're free. Free! The people on Facebook didn't believe us, but they are F-R-E-E, free. Head to gzmclassroom.com and get yours today.